Case number 8 is United States versus Leal. Mr. Bailey.
May it please the court, counsel. Chris Bailey appears on behalf of Mr. Marco Sparada de Leal. Mr. Leal is currently in New Mexico at Cibola County Correctional. He received a 38-month sentence, criminal category 1, offense level 21. His release will be in November of next year. He'll be almost 65 when released. I will point out this was a safety valve sentence because he had no record, and given the facts of the case, it was appropriate for that. Now, I've been listening to the other sentencing arguments today about guideline cases, and here we have a gentleman who is in his early 60s. He's completely illiterate, doesn't speak any English. He's here illegally, so although he received 3 years of supervised release, he's never going to serve any of that. It's pointed out at the district court level that this gentleman will be in prison. He won't get any services, and under 18 U.S.C. 3553, one of the ideas behind that code, part of the code, is for a person to get education and vocational training. He won't be getting any of that just because of his illegal alien status, which, of course, standing by itself with all the cases we have, says we can't depart for that reason. Then age and health, can't necessarily depart just for that reason. And, of course, lack of sophistication. This was a gentleman who middled a drug deal, who didn't even know how much he'd get paid, and was caught rather easily. And honestly, this was a gentleman who lacked any real knowledge of any criminal-type matters other than this one case, and he has no criminal history. So right now, this gentleman sits in New Mexico, basically waiting for the day when he's released and he's trucked over the border into Mexico. So he'll be just short of his 65th birthday, and he'll go back to being the farmer that he always was, because that's all he ever did. Very limited education, and a very... Now he sits in prison. My point is, when I brought this appeal, is I know it fell within the guideline as determined by the court, and I realize that. And I realize, too, that Judge Stadmiller, as he does now in all of his sentencing, gives a long speech about the guidelines being advisory. And not only that, about the idea that Congress had originally gave the guidelines out so everyone would sentence consistently. I understand all that. But then I'm always going to be wondering now, until further guidance comes down, when is that rebuttable presumption met? When do we meet it at sentencing? How many factors do we, as defense counsel who works at the district court level and to the appellate level, what do we have to show to a district court judge? I thought with all these factors, I thought it really should have been a downward departure, because I didn't see him needing 3 years, 2 months in prison. It just seemed to me that it wasn't a reasonable sentence. I was of the opinion that we could have departed downwards on this one. I just didn't see it with this gentleman, the need to go to prison that long. He'll say, well, Judge Stadmiller even points out, he's an older guy, he should know better. Age sometimes brings wisdom, but this wasn't a sophisticated man. This was a man of the earth. Farmed, that's what he did.
How did he come by the 750 grams of cocaine in his house?
He was solicited by someone else in the Hispanic community there in Milwaukee. He was staying in boarding houses or renting rooms because he really didn't have much money. He sent money back to Mexico best he could, but he met this Victor Ortega, who wanted him to middle this deal, and he agreed to do so. So he himself was not the one who ever actually held 3/4 of a kilogram of cocaine. It was always this other gentleman he was middling the deal for. So I'm not saying this guy brought cocaine up from Mexico. There's no evidence of that. He was the one who solicited. It was a chance to make money, albeit he never actually knew how much money he was going to get. But his decision was to help in this deal. Now, given his lack of sophistication, it also should be pointed out that he probably didn't realize at the time, although it should be no excuse, he didn't know how much trouble he'd get in for this, obviously, because this is a guy who'd never been in trouble before. Even though I've dealt with some people who deal drugs, they know quite clearly how much time they might get. This was a gentleman who really had no clue how serious this was. because he was a man who just worked. That's all he did.
How long had he been in the United States illegally?
He'd been...
approximately, I don't need to know.
He'd been in the United States a few years. It's just that he wasn't a very good historian either. I really struggled with this client because, one, he was illiterate. He couldn't read or write. And on top of that, his level of sophistication was such he had a real problem understanding during the course of the case what it meant to be, you know, part of a drug conspiracy prior to a crime, because he never really understood that until, like, after about 4 or 5 visits to the Dodge County Jail where he was housed, what party to a crime meant, what middling a deal meant as part of the overall drug conspiracy. He'd only been in the country a few years. His sons were here. He worked with them. He would work at jobs. He worked at Miller Park, the baseball park where the Brewers play. He also worked at some jobs at local cemeteries doing groundskeeping with his two sons that were up here as well. He still had family back in Mexico they sent money to. So he hadn't been here a real long time, no. I can't say for sure in the past had he come back and forth. I couldn't say for sure because, like I said, he was a poor historian. He couldn't really figure out a lot of how things worked here. But the overall thrust of this is that I didn't think a lot of prison was needed for this gentleman. And he's going straight back to Mexico at the conclusion. And that's all he really wanted. In fact, that was another point, is a lot of people in these situations say, well, can't you just send me back to Mexico for doing this? And I said, well, you did something wrong. You should be punished. But given the fact that by the time he gets to the end of the sentence, he'll be a few months short of 65, and as I point out in my brief, is that recidivism among people of that age is so rare. And on top of that, I think once he's been to prison for the first time ever in his life, I don't think he really wants to go back there. And not to say someone who is his age, prison would be much harder on a gentleman in his 60s than someone who's a teenager or in their 20s. And in that case, it's a little more punitive on him than it would be on somebody else. And I know individually the case law has spoken on each of these factors that I cite and say that that's not a good reason for departure. But in this case, I'd say the combination of all these factors is justifiable reason for the court to have departed downward. So I'd ask the court to, I would like to have the downward departure granted on remand. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Mr. Hanstead.
May it please the court, counsel. Gregory Hanstead on behalf of the United States. In this case, the district court properly calculated the applicable guideline range as 37 to 46 months of imprisonment. The court then imposed a sentence of 38 months. Because the sentence imposed was within the applicable guideline range, it is presumptively reasonable. The district court not only properly calculated the guideline range in this case, but it also correctly noted and recognized that sentencing guidelines are advisory. The court then gave the defendant an opportunity to advance reasons why a sentence below the guideline range was warranted in this case. And the defendant argued that a number of factors, each of which related to either his personal characteristics or to the nature and circumstances of his offense, called for a sentence below the guideline range. The district court considered the defendant's argument along with the other factors set forth in Section 3553A and concluded that a sentence near the bottom of the guideline range was appropriate. More specifically, the court determined that a 38-month sentence reflected the seriousness of this offense, provided adequate deterrence, punishment for the defendant, and promoted respect for the law. Given the procedures that were employed by the district court and given the factors that drove his sentencing decision, the defendant cannot and has not in this case overcome the presumption of reasonableness that attaches to his sentence. Unless the court has any further questions, the government asks that the district court's sentence be affirmed.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Two and a half minutes, Mr.
Thank you.
It's interesting to note how we weigh certain factors when looking at departures. Mentioned today in this courtroom is the fact that we look for family departures and saying that because someone's committed a crime and if they have a child in a certain situation, we feel very comfortable doing that departure. But in this situation, we got some of this age, education, and their legal immigrant status, taking three factors and putting them together isn't even close to being equal to a downward departure for family circumstance. We have these guidelines that cut out certain factors that we feel we should always depart or should at least look at strongly. And then we also have these other situations where, well, the guidelines didn't actually give us a lot here, so we're not going to really do much with it. And we're going to make it incumbent upon defense counsel and defendant to say, okay, show us, the court, why we should grant this departure, because the guidelines don't provide for it. And the thing is that when we always have cases like this where we're fighting up this hill, we've got to remember that the ideas behind 3553A and having all those factors is to try to say, we want the courts to look at these things when they sentence people. And just because those things aren't listed in the sentencing guidelines specifically, and we have all these points and calculations, doesn't mean they should just be tossed off to the side when looking at these sentences. I would just hope that when we look at these cases and look at these sentences, we can say, just because the guidelines don't give us that, doesn't mean we shouldn't give a nice amount of weight to these other factors listed under 18 U.S.C. 3553.
Well, I don't think it's helpful to refer to them as departures. I think they ought to be taken into the calculation of the sentence, not a departure from the guidelines. I mean, since the guidelines are advisory, it's kind of hard to depart from an advisory sentence. So the idea is that you incorporate them into the sentence you're given. For example, if you say, well, we'll start at the midpoint, this was 37 to 46 months, and you know you can adjust it down to 37, so then be presumptively reasonable. But to take your situation and say, well, if a different sentencing judge says, well, he's 62 years old, he can't speak the language and so forth, no prior offense, I'm going to give him a sentence of 35 months. And we can do that. And that's really what you're arguing for, but it's not a departure from the guidelines.
To answer your question, it sure feels like when I'm in district court, I'm arguing for a downward departure. It sure feels like that's what I'm doing.
And well, we've stated it's not in case law, but
see, a guideline sentence is, we've said, is presumptively reasonable. I don't think that means that a sentence outside is presumptively unreasonable. And here, if the judge would have said, oh, he's 62 years old, he's got all these language problems, even though the guideline range is 37 months to 46, I'm going to give him 24. I don't think that would have been an unreasonable sentence under the circumstances. The judge didn't do that.
Can I answer?
So, I mean, a sentence that is presumed to be reasonable doesn't mean that a sentence that's different outside the guidelines is unreasonable. But it's the judge's call to make, and we're reviewing the decision he did make, not the one he might have been able to make.
Well, I wish he would have gone off the 24, but
yeah, I'm sure he does.
I mean, that's the point is, as Judge Evans said, it may be a different judge, maybe one of us would give it a different sentence. But our job is not to re-sentence; it's to see whether it's reasonable.
All right, thank you.
And Mr. Bailey, you took this case by appointment, did you?
I did.
Again, thank you very much for your assistance and your representation of your client in this matter. Thank you.